We're all gathered here, so we'll go ahead and get started with this work session on case number PU-16-539. We are gathered at the 12th floor of the state capitol, and it is about 9:01 on my cell phone on Monday, December 5th. December 5th. Okay, so I don't have any opening comments, Randy.
No opening comments.
Brian, how would you like to run this since you're on the phone? I'm happy to turn over to you because you've been kind of driving this buggy.
Sure, if it's okay with you, Madam Chair, I guess I'd like to have some opening comments, and I've got a few questions, and then maybe turn it back over to see what you and Randy have. But in general, other than about three different points that I have, I'm glad the company submitted the phase one request. I've been asking for this for quite some time. Got a couple of tweaks that I'd like to talk about, but in general, I'm okay with it. So if you don't mind, Madam Chair, I'll just ask my questions, and then we'll see how the conversation unfolds.
Okay, one quick thing, though, before you get into your questions, would it be appropriate for the staff to just summarize what has been done, like what all has been added? I had a conversation with Julie on Friday, but I kind of like a refresher on what exactly exists in this new proposed order, the things that were changed.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, so Zach or Julie, if you can kind of run through that, that'd be great.
Good morning, Zach here. My voice is indicating that I've like my kids' colds have finally caught up to me. But I feel fine. It's just my voice sounds terrible, I'm sure. So essentially what the company has done is file a motion to amend the application to bifurcate the project area and stay the decision on what they're calling phase two. So they've essentially carved out portions of the project area into phase one and phase two, and the map that was included as part of the attachment to the motion indicates what is phase one and what is phase two. Phase one includes a substation. Pat, myself, and Julie all reviewed. Yes.
We don't have maps.
Was this part of a filing?
It's part of the filing, and it was attachment one to the motion. So it, I don't know if it wasn't.
Do you have it, Brian? Do you have this with you?
I'm fine, Julie. I saw through the change on Friday before I left. I don't have it on my phone right this second.
Okay. We'll just talk through it.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm sorry. I thought that it was everyone had it.
I'm sure we do. It's just probably sure. Hasn't gotten to our proper...
But essentially, attachment one details all of the changes that phase one will bring. For example, the number of turbines is now 52 for a total of 179.4 megawatts. There's three alternate turbines. The maps lay that out. The percentage of prime farmland is now determined for phase one, the cost of phase one. These types of things are all included in attachment one, and the map here indicates that the substation will be included. And as I was mentioning, that was one of the things that initially the company didn't want to have the substation. It's not that they didn't want it; it was just more difficult, I think, to include that. But they did include that on our insistence on including the substation. So Pat, Julie, and I have reviewed the motion. It appears to be in order. Certainly, we can answer any questions about it. What the company envisions doing is starting construction this year, excavating 19 of the 20, 19 sites. There were 20 initially, but one turbine 23 was removed. The company was in the time frame was not able to get a waiver for the landowner. I think it was R55, Julie. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
R55, that landowner apparently has had some health issues and they've just not been able to get a waiver. This landowner, you may recall, had, there were 30 hours of shadow flicker on R55, so they removed turbine 23, which now brings the shadow flicker to under the 30-hour mark. Julie has prepared, and I've reviewed initial draft findings of facts, conclusions of law, and order. We're still working through that. It is in draft format, but we believe it's pretty close. And I think My understanding of the plan is to have the meeting today and to possibly have a special meeting, tack on to the currently scheduled special meeting on Wednesday, tack this on potentially to that. So that's it in a nutshell, I think.
Okay, thank you, Zach. So your questions then, Brian? More your thoughts
and
questions?
Yeah, thank you, Julie. Zach answered one of my questions. The cost is for the revised phase one. You told me the $202 million.
That's right, Commissioner, $202 million.
Okay, and then I thought of, when I looked through it again over the weekend, could we add some language in there from, you know, basically the early on talks about we had the hearing September 27th, and then as if nothing happened until December 2nd when they submitted the request to bifurcate it. Could we add some in there that, you know, the commission held a work session on here, concerns about easements, the commission held another work session, still hadn't had this. And so it reads as the way the events follow, because right now it just seems as if we didn't do anything for a couple months.
Yeah, Commissioner, this is Zach here again. I don't think that that'll be an issue, and Julie and I can work on some language just to kind of set up the more of the history of how we arrived at where we're at today.
Because I think that's important, because it really walks people through how, you know, we started out with this and what we got to it, because otherwise I don't think it speaks. Well, you can dig into the record, I guess, but it doesn't speak if someone pulled the order out. So if that's okay with my colleagues, I'd like to do that. And then the last two are kind of the same kind of question, Zach, where, or Julie Prescott, I don't know that I like putting in, and maybe we've done it before, I just didn't notice it as much, but where we say exactly 1.5 miles for the Eagle's Nest. I mean, it's almost like we could almost be silent on that and let them work it out to their conservation plan, or I don't like that so much. And then the second one was, I don't know about limiting speeds to 25 miles an hour. I don't mind them driving that speed, but once again, I don't know if that's our place to say exactly how fast they should or shouldn't drive on those roads. So that'd be my comments.
Okay.
I guess, Julie, I was hoping for some feedback from Zach and Julie Prescott on those two comments, if they think that's right or I missed something there.
Okay, very good. They're looking.
Find it off onto Julie here, Commissioner.
Okay.
That's why the long pause.
Sorry. Yeah, they had committed to that, but I can remove it and move it back up to the mitigation area and take it out of the order.
Well, does that make sense, Julie Prescott, though? Because, I mean, I like the idea they're consulting, they're working, but I don't like ever putting a hard number. But then all of a sudden that becomes urban legend that it's got to be this point, and it couldn't be more, we couldn't make it more, we couldn't make it less.
I think, Commissioner, if I remember correctly, the 1.5 miles came as part of the discussion with Fish and Wildlife Service. But let Julie and I take a look at that background a little bit more, and you know, I do seem to recall that there was a commitment to that number as to the away area, away or buffer zone away from a eagle nest.
How about something? I see what Brian's saying, and maybe it's in here someplace else. But I think where we've landed after a lot of consideration, deliberation on this issue, is that we are most comfortable relying on the agencies that have expertise. In this case, use Fish and Wildlife. Sometimes we include Game and Fish. And just stating in our orders that the company has committed to working with those agencies to mitigate any concerns long for the life of the project, and include that kind of more general language that requires them to have ongoing and not just commit to some flat distance and call good. Is that work, Brian?
No, that's exactly, Julie Fedorchuk, what I was thinking.
I think that makes sense, and I think that's something we can work on language on that.
Okay. That's good. I haven't looked real closely at this, so I will do that and get any specific thoughts directly to you guys, but I'm looking at number 11 in the... Or Brian, did you have additional issues? I'm sorry, before we go on to my things.
Just the one, what about the 25 miles an hour? We're not the traffic police, and I don't think that's our job to put the... We can't enforce it. We're not out there, so staff's thoughts on that.
We can take it out.
Okay, thank you. But no other questions other than, to Zach's point, if my colleagues are comfortable with it, I'd like to add it to the special meeting. If they're not and they want another work session, that's no problem at all. Whatever we decide at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
One question on the 25 mile an hour thing, and I'm not having a concern with removing it, but since it's in the measures to minimize impact area instead of in our order, is that really something that we'd be taking responsibility for, or is that just acknowledging something that they have committed to as opposed to anything that we would enforce?
It came from some information they provided about that they had committed to. So this is how it's been handled in other orders. If they committed to, we put it in the measures to minimize impacts area just to show that they're taking these measures.
I don't have strong feelings that it needs to be in there if the portfolio holder wants it out, but I don't think it's harmful either.
Maybe we could just say the company has committed. Maybe it says that. I'm not looking at the order right now, but leave it in, but say the company has committed to. That might be a good balance.
I can change that language.
Okay, but no other questions, Julie Grochek.
Okay. I had one question on the number 11 of the conclusions. So it's be on page 8. And that's of the order. Yep. Do you have a page 8?
Yeah, that's in the order.
11. Yeah. Oh, I guess, I'm sorry, in the order, yeah, not the conclusions of law. It states that the only issue, I like this, I appreciate this. It's a step in the right direction. It doesn't really deal with what happens if the company is just defunct. But I think we have to have this, something like this at a minimum. The date is the one issue. Is there any information as to how 2020 was selected as the date? Is that how long our order lasts, or what's the logic behind that?
That came directly from the landowner easements. That's what the landowners have, or that's what they provided to us that they said was from the landowner easements. I don't know how it came to be selected.
But does it make sense for us, 2020? I mean,
I think that where this comes from, Commissioner, is the landowner easements. The landowner easements have language requiring reclamation if the project isn't done.
Right, so but is that, should we be, tell me the logic for following those. And I'm not trying to be critical.
Julie, I believe that some of it might be our certificates are good for 4 years after we issue the order. If they don't start construction, they got to come back. So that might be tied in there somehow, too.
And I think, too, the plan of the company, as I understand it, is to start in 2016, really not do any work in 2017, and come in 2018 and do the project, essentially, in 2018.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking a number of years off.
What's the time? When do they hope to have this project in service? Do we remember?
We believe it's 2018, Commissioner.
In service in 2018.
Yeah, right.
And so should we ask for a report before, if 2018 passes and we don't have anything? I mean, is there any, since there's been work done, should there be any sooner follow-up from us? Or do you guys think, and I guess I'm interested in Randy's thoughts on this issue, too, where he's at on that 2020 time frame, and if there might be some other parameters to consider here.
Well, my thought is that I'm saddened that we don't have better rules in place yet to require something to make sure that there are financial resources available to us if things aren't decommissioned. But the fact is we don't. And so I guess I'll have more on the order as a whole later, but I don't know that within the context of our current rules that we can probably do much more than this.
Mm-hmm. Well, the date, there's no magic to that date. We don't have to follow that date. We could say we wouldn't, I'm not saying they should have to decommission or do the reclamation in 2018, but if they aren't operational by that time, is there some sort of status report we should be getting from them so we know what's going on out there?
Our permits are, Julie said, 4 years, valid for 4 years. Or is that what you said?
Commissioner said that.
Okay. So, there is a balance, I think, in allowing the company the time to complete a project and then at the same time commit to, if for whatever reason it doesn't happen, to reclaiming it. I think the difference with this one
is there will actually be construction right away. And normally we provide a permit out there and there's nothing that goes on. And so it's not a big deal. We don't need reports from companies on projects that haven't actually been actively constructing.
They're going to have to talk to us when they're constructing. I mean, they're going to have a pre-construction meeting here.
That'll be now, and 2 years of nothing.
Right. I mean, I suppose we could require something in the interim, some type of update or something like that, as to where the project is, to provide information on the status of the project sometime in early 2018 or late 2017 or something like that, just where things are going.
So what's going to happen is some roads will be constructed? Is that, or are they building the towers?
They're going to do excavation on the towers themselves.
So just moving the dirt.
Right.
So it won't be pouring the concrete or anything?
No, they're not pouring the concrete.
All right, well, I'm all right with that, I guess.
Okay.
Quick question, if I could. Once a company starts construction, they have to give us the construction reports. So I wonder if they'll have to do that the first time, and then we've never had a case where you said they start construction, they quit. I wonder if they keep the obligation to do the construction reports, even if they're not doing construction, so that might be a way of having updates.
What's the basis for those construction reports, Julie?
Required by the certification, the monthly updates.
Oh, so that is monthly.
You could have them include that in that report, in the monthly status update reports.
What would that be?
It's part of the certification that's attached to the order, so.
So if there's no construction, they would just be sending a report saying no construction, no construction, no construction, right? No change.
Right, or maybe they could include in there if there's, what their updates are on the lighting as well, and their review of the lighting and the status for that, and proposed plans for construction. I mean,
that might be status of the project, or
just make it a bit larger,
a little more general.
Right.
That would work, and then that doesn't require anything because we already have that. It's a good idea. Good. Thanks, Brian.
Sure.
Just a small question on something Zach just said. That they're just going to do this excavation work? Don't they have to build some roads to get to the excavation sites? I mean, I presume that they're not just going to be going cross country wherever they want to go.
Cause I don't think that they're going across.
My ground isn't froze west of Bismarck. Seemed alarming when you said that.
Yeah, we're Commissioner. They want to get going on this. I think that's clear. How they're going to get to these areas, I don't have that information. That would be brought up in the pre-construction meeting as to how they're going to do that. We've had a request from the company relayed to us from some of the peak landowners that they wanted to do their own excavation themselves to get the things to get this going. And we said, well, you can't do that because we need to have it monitored and whatnot. But presumably they are, I guess when I said what I said, I didn't mean to infer that they were going to be driving cross-country across to access these points. Presumably there is some type of plan in place to have access roads so that, items are land and farmland is not, torn up beyond what it would need to be.
Well, and if the permit is approved, they're free to build the whole thing. I mean, they are free.
That is true. I mean, there's nothing that would prevent them from building the whole thing. It's just what we understand they're going to do is only the excavation.
Yeah. And we also don't pretend through the order to direct what they are going to do and in what order. They're free to build the whole thing.
Right. That's true.
At whatever pace.
But I'll follow up with you, Commissioner Chrisman.
I would hope they would build some roads in and
right.
then do the construction as opposed to the other way around.
Okay. Anything else, Brian? I'll go through this order in more detail, but it looks to me like it's going in the right direction in terms of addressing only the issues where they actually have completed the discussions and negotiations with the landowners that are included in the permitted area with infrastructure for the project.
Well, what I can do, Madam Chair, is I can stay in touch with Julie Prescott and Zach and then come Tuesday afternoon or early Wednesday morning. If one of my colleagues, you're okay with it, then I'd put it on for Wednesday vote. If there's something that comes up, if you could just let Julie and Zach know that you'd like a work session, then we'll maybe do the work session at that time. So I guess we'll just have to see how it all plays out once everybody gets a chance to digest these changes.
I would just add to that the company has stressed to me through their attorney that Wednesday they really want to have a special meeting on potentially approving the order because of the construction. They need to get this constructed in December. That's from the company, so I'm just relaying that to you for your consideration.
Randy, any other thoughts? Brian, do you have any more?
Not in this case, Julie, but if it's okay at the very end, I'd like to see if we can schedule a quick discussion about some staffing.
Sure. Okay. Randy has some additional thoughts.
Okay.
So I've only had this matter in minutes, have not read it. What are we doing here? Is this going to be one wind farm and it's a standalone thing? If the other is never approved, this operates just fine, and the other one will be cited as a standalone wind farm at some point if they choose to go ahead with it, or what? Because one thing that's become pretty obvious this fall, it's not a good idea to start construction on a big part of a project knowing that you still have easements to get in the middle.
Right. No, this is a standalone project, as I understand it, Commissioner. Phase one stands alone on its own. If for whatever reason phase two wouldn't be built, phase one could be. I believe it's the company's intention that eventually phase two would be completed. And I think what this motion does is essentially it holds in abeyance the decision or the case of phase two. Essentially, how long that's going to occur, I don't know. But we're looking at phase one, which would be a completed project on its own.
And what does hold in abeyance mean? Does that mean will phase two require a new hearing and restarting the clock?
It could. And under the administrative rules that allow for application amendments, the commission can request a rehearing. If the commission determines that a proposed amendment after the hearing has been completed materially changes the authority sought. So nothing prevents the commission from having a hearing on phase two if it wants to. If at a time the company submits the required information, documentation on the easements, you'll recall that they're missing some easements on collection lines and some road easements. If those are provided, then the commission can make a determination as to whether or not to hold a rehearing on the entire phase two project, or it can rely on what we already had the hearing on, the entire, we'll call the entire project. Now it's been divided into two phases. and rely on that. If there are any updates that are required for phase two, perhaps those can be submitted. It really is going to be up to the commission, though, as to how it wants to handle phase two. But I think right now we're talking about phase one, how we want to handle phase one, and that is essentially what the company is asking for right now. They essentially want to put on hold phase two.
If I could, Zach, I would throw out to my colleagues, I contemplated that question when I thought about this a while back. And, you know, a lot of the wind farms, well, not a lot, but some of them will approve 150 megawatts, let's say, and the company will build 75 in the first phase and maybe the different amount. But it's not uncommon for wind farms to build in different phases, even though they've got the cap. But in this one, I guess I thought that when it comes time for them to get around to phase two, and, you know, at a minimum, I would think about updates to the studies, updates to any of the permits, just kind of a general reset. And so they are opening themselves up to potentially hearings and everything else again. I'm glad you brought that up, but that's what I thought of going forward, is we'll make that decision at the time. But if I'm still here, I'm sure that's what I would, at a minimum, want is, you know, refresh and maybe even go back out there again.
I think the essential thing, though, is, like in the case of, say, Bison 1 through 4, that each be the first step always be a standalone step. And so Zach's explanation satisfied that for me. I certainly didn't want to have this be something that hinges then on the rest of it when those easements aren't in place.
This is similar to Thunder Spirit then? Basically, we permitted that for more than higher than what was ultimately built. I think it was 150, and they built 100 megawatts.
That's the one I thought of right away, Julie, the difference there.
And they are currently, I think, looking at expanding that. Mm-hmm. But it's the locations have all been identified, previously cited, and so it wouldn't require a new hearing.
I think, too, commissioners, I think timing is an issue. If we get next month, we get the easements to say, well, we got all the easements from the company, then, I mean, having a rehearing probably doesn't make sense. Of course, you could have it, but if we get it 2 years later, then it probably makes a lot of sense to have a rehearing on phase two.
Timing does make a difference.
Timing makes a difference, yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Randy?
Well, I'll just say, you know, I'm going to read this carefully. It still concerns me that, you know, different from, I think, other projects that I recall, now we've gotten into the point where once a project is you know, hurried through to get approval so construction can be started, there's not even contemporaneous construction. There's going to be, you know, a whole construction season next year where presumably nothing or very little is even done on it. Clearly, the urgency is here to qualify for tax credits and help ease some of the federal budget surplus problems, more so than someone wanting to buy the product that this wind farm would produce. So I have some serious concerns about it. When I've studied it more thoroughly, I'll decide whether I can support it or not. If I don't, there'll be a dissenting order drafted, or hopefully an alternative order that I'll be able to persuade one or both of you to vote for. And I will remind the other commissioners, we have an 11 o'clock meeting off campus, so we need to be going a little before that, and that's going to take till well beyond 12. I have a 1 o'clock, I have a 2 o'clock, and I have a 4:30 appointment, and then there's stuff on the schedule for tomorrow, so I don't know, between my schedule and Zach's, I don't know exactly how quickly we're going to be able to do that, but we will work as quickly as possible on it. In fact, if I'm able to, I'll meet with Zach here immediately afterwards so that he can kind of have a concept of what I'd like to see in a potential alternative order just in case I, after studying this, cannot support it.
Okay. Very good. I think that anything else, Julie, Zach, Brian?
I don't have anything else.
Could we schedule something at 10 for a personnel discussion or even 10:30?
I have a 10:30 speaking engagement and then this 11:30 meeting for Lignite and a 1 and a 2 o'clock meeting. So my calendar is really jammed today. I could do it right now. I mean, we're 15 minutes from now. Yeah. So if you want to do that, Brian, we'll go ahead and get that running. Are you able to meet on a staffing issue in 15 minutes?
Yeah. Can we 15, 20, something like that? And then if it would be all right, I could meet with Zach in the meantime a little bit.
Sure. Yep. I can't go much later because I have to get across town for a 10:30 speaking deal. So, okay. 10:02, Brian, we'll reconvene at 10:02:10.
Yeah, and if we could just have a lot of notice, it is just a staff planning, something like that.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Oh, wait, sorry.
One more thing Julie mentioned. The company, as you recall, was in the process of completing avian surveys, and those are ongoing. And one of the things I mentioned to Julie is we should probably, Julie Prescott, that is, we should include in the order that when those surveys are completed, that they be filed with the commission. So we're going to be adding that to the order as well, just so you are aware.
Okay. Very good. Okay, thanks. Brian, we'll be back in touch here shortly.